All right. Thank you for again for being here. Wonderful, wonderful day. We had some controversy this morning. Some of the parents are thinking some of the kids were on PEDs, okay, performance-enhancing drugs. How many know what that is? I think some of those kids were on roids. I'm just going to be honest with you. Definitely my grandson was not on roids. He was on Twinkies. And so that was fun. That is a lot of fun. By the way, when you go by, if you see Mrs. Esposito, thank her and all of her crew and for all that they did to make this happen. I mean, I think Maggie and some of the girls, everything was decorated so nicely. And thank you for making this a nice day for the families. The last few weeks, we've been talking about, and again, when I say this, don't check out social media and some principles that apply to it. But these principles really apply to many different areas in life. They're just biblical principles of living. And I'm just bringing them out because it's very easy when we get on social media sometimes to violate those principles. And I just believe that if you're a Christian, you ought to try to live like a Christian no matter what you're doing or no matter what you're involved with. Okay? Say you're in an athletic event. Okay, that's a tough one, all right? So you're coaching or whatever. Sometimes it's tough, and I know we want to argue and yell at the refs, and I can tell you as someone that coached our teams before, that doesn't work. It just makes them mad, and so don't do that. It's not Christian. But we're going to look at some principles. And when it comes to technology, I'm not against it. You know that. You can either use it for good, you can use it for bad, or you can just use it in a very, very ugly way. We're going to look at some verses in a minute in Galatians here. We've looked at some other verses. We're going back a little bit farther this time. When we first looked at these verses, we saw that the Lord desires for us to walk in the Spirit. And he tells us if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, those desires that we have that if we leave them unchecked will lead us to sinful activities. And so he's telling us that. And then as as we get further in the chapter, it talks about the fact that if we fulfill the lust of the flesh, it produces bad works. But if we will walk in the Spirit, it will produce good fruit in our life. The point really here is, and we'll look at it a little bit deeper as way of an introduction, it's a constant battle to walk in the Spirit and avoid the lust of the flesh. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, it is something we have to purposely do, and it's something we have to work at in our spiritual life. And to be real honest with you, to fulfill the lust of the flesh, it doesn't take much effort. It's actually pretty easy. That's why we got to kind of keep it in check. But one of the things with social media, and not just social media, there's other areas. If we're not careful, something like social media, it's giving an outlet for our flesh. You see, we all have these desires in here, and we keep them in check through Christianity. But if we're not careful, we put ourselves in situations where now there's an outlet for our flesh to act out. And so what we want to do as much as possible is limit that and keep ourselves under control. The thing we just need to understand as Christians is just because we use technology or the latest technology, the latest social media, it doesn't mean that it's okay for us to violate principles of spirituality and principles of scriptures, particularly in how we interact with one another and walking in the Spirit and the flesh and all that. Now, if we go back, that's the last part of the chapter. But if we go back to the middle part of the chapter, what we just read, we see that sometimes good things can be used as an excuse to do bad things. Let me give you what he says. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not this liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Paul is dealing with legalism, true legalism, in Galatians here, which is adding works to salvation. It's not this nonsense that some Christians say, well, if someone preaches principles from the Bible, things that we should do or should not do, that's legalism. No, it isn't. Now, if I got up here and said, the Bible says you're supposed to do this, and the Bible says you shouldn't do that, and that will determine whether or not you go to heaven, that's legalism. But if the Bible's telling us there's things we should do and there's things we shouldn't do, that's not legalism. That's principles of Scripture, and God expects us to be obedient. What had happened in the first part of this chapter, if you read through it, people had crept into the church and were bringing a false doctrine of salvation. That it wasn't just for these folks that were getting saved. They had to get saved, and they also had to keep the law to be saved, which, of course, is heresy. But what happened is Paul goes through that, the first part of the chapter, but then he deals with it in a different area. They were not just using, and Paul tells them in verse 1, stand fast in the liberty wherefore liberty with Christ hath made, wherewith Christ hath made you free. In other words, the liberty that they had was, and the freedom that they had was for salvation. They didn't have to trust Jesus Christ and keep the law. And they were talking about circumcision and all the little Jewish parts of the law that they kept. He says, no, you stand fast in your liberty. You trust Christ and all your sins been forgiven because you can't keep the law to get saved. But what happened is there was an issue kind of creeping in here. If you look at verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Liberty was in no way intended for them to be able to disobey the parts of the Bible that they're supposed to live. Just because they had freedom not to have to keep the law to be saved doesn't mean they had freedom not to keep the law in obedience. I mean, whether you're saved or not, thou shalt not kill, it's there. You're supposed to keep it. Don't covet, all these different things. And so they were using their liberty as an occasion to the flesh. He mentions two areas that they would have issues with this if they did that. He said if they use their liberty after salvation in the wrong way, they would use it in fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The word occasion means an opportunity or an incentive. So what they were saying is, I have liberty in Christ now that I'm saved, and I'm saved without keeping the law. Therefore, I don't have to keep the law. I've already been forgiven. And so they were using that liberty as an incentive or an opportunity to get involved and do things that God said they should not do. Now understand the difference. Before they were saved, those things were all sin, and they were headed to hell. If you're not saved because of their sin, now, yeah, they won't go to hell if they're saved, but they would be disobedient to God, and they would experience, these balloons in my way, they would experience the results of someone who is disobedient to God. So we don't have liberty to do that. Our liberty in Christ is not to be used as an incentive to live in the flesh. Well, I'm forgiven. Doesn't mean you can do it. Or an opportunity. He also mentions another area that would infect our relationship with one another. It's not a coincidence he mentions it. Only use not liberty as occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So if they had the wrong view of liberty after salvation, they would live and fulfill the lust of the flesh, and they wouldn't, in my estimation, be obeying that verse where they're supposed to love one another. You know why? When you are living in the flesh, you're going to have problems with relationships. The two go together. You want to have a better relationships with people in your life? If you're not saved, get saved. If you're saved, live the principles of Scripture. And you will have better relationship. That's why a few verses later, the verse came, which we looked at already, where it talks about that we're not supposed to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are supposed to walk in the Spirit. Verse 13 needs to be obeyed and not violated, because fulfilling the lust of the flesh leads up to doing the works of the flesh. And by the way, he lists them so we get an idea of what they're about. Do you understand this all ties together? It's not just don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and don't use old liberty for the flesh. And then he tells you exactly what happens when we do fulfill the lust of the flesh. He gives us a list. Walking the Spirit will lead to bearing fruits of the Spirit. That leads us to serve one another in love. Okay? And so that's where the two are right there. The problem is, with that as a backdrop here, when we go online, we're supposed to still keep those principles. We're not supposed to do anything online or in any aspect of our life that would fulfill the lust of the flesh. We also, no matter what we're doing, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Well, I didn't like what someone posted. Okay. Who made you the judge and jury? We're supposed to walk in love towards one another. We looked at two principles already. I'm not going to go over them. I will just mention them. We looked at the principle of glory. In other words, everything we do is supposed to be done to the glory of God. By the way, if we followed that, we wouldn't have to even talk about any of these type of principles, even for daily living. The way we interact, the things we do, the way we work at work, all these different things. If we do them for the glory of God, we won't have an issue. Because we'll look at those things and say, this would not be glorifying to God. And then last week, we looked at the principle of unity. How does that affect my relationship with my brother in Christ? By the way, aren't those the two main commands in all of the Bible? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, mind, all that. That's living to his glory. And we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Isn't that the principle of unity, particularly among Christians who are in the same family? Now I want to look at just two more tonight, and we'll be done here. I want us to look tonight at the principle of morality. The principle of morality. You see, one of the greatest dangers in any use of social media, technology, and just to be real honest with you, any type of modern communication, things that we listen, things that we look at, is that it can lead us away from that which is moral. And by the way, if I say that, I don't even have to sit here and prove that to you. You already know that. You know what's going wrong in our society. You know what's going on. You know, it's funny. In the early days of email, what was happening, and it seems silly now, people found out, now I can connect with people. Now, this is email. And people were connecting with old friends from high school and all that. And I can name people I know. They ran off with, they left their spouse and they ran off with old school boyfriends and girlfriends because they started communicating on email. I mean, that's really dinosaursville for a lot of you Gen Z, X, Y, whatever you guys are. Okay, email, that's like we only use that now like, you know, for, you know, just talking, whatever, work stuff. But now with our other technology, you get involved with things so much easier. What is morality? The definition of morality is this: principles that concerning the distinction between right and wrong and good and bad behavior. All of us have a filter through which we make our decisions of how we are going to interact or what we're going to do. And if we're trying to follow Scripture and walking in the Spirit, we're going to determine what is good and bad, what is right and wrong, based on what God says. And we'll follow that. But when we start stepping out of line with that, then the flesh takes over. Then these other things take over. And we get into the world and all these different things. But let me just show you this really quick. Your morality shows your spiritual maturity. Let me show you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5, please. Hebrews chapter number 5. I want us to see this here. Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll look at verse number 12, and we'll look at a couple other verses here related to this. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. The writer of Hebrews, not specifically mentioned, I personally think it's Paul. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers," he's talking to these Christians, Hebrew Christians, "ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." And so he's saying here, he says, look, he goes, you are old enough as a believer to where you should know enough to be able to teach others. But although you are old enough in the sense of how long you've been saved to teach some others, you can't. You have to still be taught. And then he gives the illustration that you're like those that have that need milk and not strong drink. See, in the Bible, there it is right there, in our desire and growth, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's the picture. When we're a new Christian, we are a babe in Christ. As a babe, we learn the simple foundational things of Scripture. And then as we mature in our faith and we understand more of the Bible, we start to understand the things that are a little bit deeper. You know, not just the baseline things, the things that are new to us. That's called meat. And he says, look, you should be adults. You should be able to eat meat, but you're eating milk. How many of you would like to have a 20-year-old child and you're still feeding them a bottle because they can't handle meat? That's ridiculous. Well, what about a 20-year-old Christian that cannot handle or know the basics of Scripture because, in a sense, they are still babes in Christ? That's the picture that he's giving here. Their spiritual level did not match their spiritual age. Paul grieved for these problems with the Corinthian church. I'll quote this one. We're going to be in Hebrews still in a minute. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Look, two of the grandkids were here today. Colby, he got defeated pretty soundly, but he did wave and clap, so that was good. And then Asher, he started here and he ended here. We wanted him to get there. Look, I can't pull the boys in and say, like when I coached our teams, like, "All right, bring it in, guys, let me teach you what you did wrong." They're going to drool on themselves. They have no clue what they're doing. You don't have a conversation. He just looks at you like food. That, you know, food, give me food. I can't sit here and Paul's like, "I can't even talk to you. As brethren, I can't speak unto you as unspiritual, as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ." Paul says, "I can't even speak to you from a spiritually mature place because you're not there. You're still a babe in Christ. Yes, you may be a 15-year-old babe in a diaper, but you're still a babe in Christ." Verse 2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." The same picture in Hebrews. "For hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." You know how it is, you parents, you have a baby, you're very careful about what they put in their mouth. By the way, they put anything in their mouth. But you want to make sure it's something that they can handle and they can swallow and they can digest, because they're not mature enough. Now he tells us why they're babes and not spiritual. You want to know why? Look at verse 1. Oh, you weren't there. Let me quote it to you. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal," fleshly, living by the flesh. Paul says, "I can't talk. I have to talk to you like a babe, and I can't talk to you like a spiritual adult because you're carnal. You're living by the flesh. Your morality level is low. You're not growing. Your life is not changing." Do you understand what we're saying here? Fleshly carnality and spiritual immaturity go hand in hand. Unless you're on the road, unless you're where you should be at your age, right? If you are, I didn't expect this one, Asher, to get up and run. He's not ready. That's normal. But I would expect him if he's older. So it's natural. Where he was at in life is natural. When you first get saved, you're going to have some things in your life that maybe aren't right, but that's, you're going the right direction and those things are going away. But there are some that are farther down the line and yet they're still here. Why? Because they're carnal. They're fleshly. The way they're living is not only showing their Christian maturity, it's in a sense stunting their spiritual growth. That's where it's at. We try to take that aspect out of it. So if that's the case, then what is true spiritual maturity? Go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. These that are the same, they were in the same position as these in Corinthians. He's like, "Man, you should have been a teacher by now, but you're still a babe." And he's going to explain to them why. Are you ready? "For everyone that useth milk," verse 13, "is unskillful in the word of righteousness." He's a babe. So in other words, if you're still a Christian that's not spiritually mature, you're still on milk, it's because you can't handle it. You're unskillful in the word of righteousness. You don't know anything about this book for your age level. You haven't grown in it. You still believe things that aren't true. Because you're unskillful because you're a babe. But here's why. Verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age," right? They're mature. 20-year-olds get steak. 20 weeks old get milk. "Even those," he's going to define that now, "even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Because they're learning the scriptures, And they're not just learning, they're trying to make it a part of their life. Because they're using it, they have discernment to know what's good and evil, right and wrong, moral and immoral. That's it right there. Everything, look, I know you don't like to hear it. Liberal Christianity doesn't want to hear it. Everything boils down to obedience. I know people, they'll sit there and tell you they're spiritually mature, and I'll say this nicely, they live like the devil. This says one thing, and this says another. Look, I'm not talking about perfection. You understand that, people. We all sin. I get it. I'm talking about, are we trying to do what the Bible says? We want the cute things in there, you know? The little, okay, the blessings and all the stuff like that. What about the obedience part? What about the part that requires us to do something? What about the part that tells us not to do something? We don't like that part. We want the part that makes a good bumper sticker. We want the part that makes a good verse to put on our Bible cover. And by the way, I want all that too. But I also want to find out, what does God want from me? I don't want to be a babe in Christ, and so I want to have discernment. Discernment's clearly lacking in our life. Now let me just apply this, and we'll go to the second point. We'll be done tonight. Why is it then that we think, and it's not just social media, you can apply this to anything, right? We can go on to social media thinking we're going to go on spiritual, but yet we come out ending up carnal. What makes us think that that's going to happen? Because it doesn't. You don't go on there spiritual and come out carnal. You were already carnal when you went on, or you were trending that direction and now you found an outlet. If you're looking and doing things on social media, technology, whatever, that's wrong, listening to things that are wrong, watching things that are wrong, it's not because of social media, it's because you're immature as a believer. And that's just your outlet right there. You're not being careful. You have to be very careful. So in our social media, if we're not careful, we see more of a leaning towards the works of the flesh than the fruit of the Spirit. And the works of the flesh are totally devoid of anything that's moral. We have found an outlet to express our flesh and also an outlet to release it. Now look at verse 19 in Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at some of the works of the flesh. Again, this whole chapter goes together. You have liberty in Christ for salvation. He explains that. Don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And then he says, look, walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he's going to lay it out for us very, very simply. Here's what the works of the flesh are. Tell me if any of these are ever on social media. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. What's adultery and fornication? That's sexual sin. Now, I'm pretty sure none of that's online. It's everywhere, right? You got to be very careful. Be careful what you follow. Be careful what you allow. And if you're following something that starts to trend towards that, stop it. Well, that's my cousin. I can help you with that. Find the little thing that says unfollow. I'm not trying to be mean here, but I follow in the past when I used to follow Instagram, which I don't anymore, and I'm like, that's a relative. I'm like, unfollow. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see them at a party with alcohol in there, and they're dressed like hanging all over each other, talking about things which are immature. I know our society is comfortable with talking about immorality, putting in children's videos and things, but it's wicked. I don't want to hear it. So I'm not gonna watch that anymore. I'm gonna click it. Okay. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is excess and unbridled lust. Something that's filthy. Same thing. Well, I don't do it. It's just the people I follow. Quit following them. I'm not gonna give. If I wouldn't let someone do that to me personally, talk to me about that and show me that personally. Why in the world? Years ago, we were at the old building. We had a guy that was coming when we were Cambodian Baptist. He was in my singles class. And his I'm not saying this mean. He had some issues with some things in life. And he had a Cambodian newspaper. He goes, hey, look. And he opened it up. And he wanted to, this is before church. And there were some bad pictures in that. I had to turn it away and knock the paper. I said, what's wrong with you? That was inappropriate. As soon as I saw it, hey, get that out. What's wrong with you? That's the only time that's ever happened. But yet you'll follow people online that'll post that stuff. Or you'll purposely follow it because you know it's there. Let's be careful. Okay? Let's be careful. Witchcraft, that's sorcery. The games and videos and cartoons you follow have a lot of that too, by the way. Look at the ones, they're not in order, but that deal with personal relationships. We talked a little about that last week. Hatred. Following someone that's always spewing hate. Variance means debate, strife, contention. By the way, that's one of the things. Everybody wants to debate online, right? Don't they? Come on. Well, I just believe this, and blah, 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 blah. By the way, don't throw this thing out there where someone asks a question, and then all you get all these anonymous things, answers, and they say things critical about our church or Christianity or schools or whatever, and they hide behind their anonymity, and they'll say things that they can't prove because it's not true, but you can't disprove because you don't know. You just gave them an outlet to spread hate. Be very careful with that. Debate. Wrath. That's just anger, strife, causing fights, sedition. Seditions means division. What about the ones that deals with things our society is even Christianity is trying to say are okay? Drunkenness. Well, you know, it's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. That is not smart. By the way, the only people that fall for that are people that have never drank. First time you take a drink, you're already on. You're not thinking right. Remember, they used to have the thing. I don't know if they think when you drink. That is not smart. Because drinking cuts away at your thinking. The Bible doesn't say it's okay to drink. Stop buying that nonsense. It just hammers it because of what it does in your life. And then revelings. Revelings means riotous actions because of drunkenness. By the way, I don't keep up with it, but I've heard enough. All these pastors that aren't our type and drinking's okay, how many of them have lost their churches, all this stuff? Well, because they got into alcohol. Well, wow, I didn't see that coming. You can't control it. It starts to eat at you right away. First drink. Well, pastor, you know, I just don't do these things. I know, but we follow people that do. And I want to have a good spirit. That's why I personally just, I don't look at Instagram because it was just everybody showing what they're doing. It's like, I don't need to see that because I don't want to have a bad attitude about people. I'd rather see someone and like, you know, I don't know what they're doing, what they're saying on Instagram. Okay? I just don't want to know it. You say, well, that's good, so I can keep saying it. No, I didn't say that. Okay, you're setting, it's a bad testimony. Let me give you the second one tonight. And this kind of goes with it. The principle of sight. The principle of sight. And by the way, again, this isn't just technology, people. Technology just makes it really easy to get into. The principle of sight. Understand this. From the moment we wake up until the time we go to sleep, our eyes are seeing something. That's brilliant. It took me half an hour to come up with that, okay? It sees the wall I just ran into. This opportunity, and the problem with that, the opportunities to see something we shouldn't are everywhere. You got to really be on guard. We have to be careful. Why is it a big deal? Because what we allow ourselves to see will determine to a great degree what we allow ourselves to do. You cannot help but look at something wrong and go back to the other point, immoral, and not eventually get caught up with some of that. Because it gets in our eye gate first. Let me show you from Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 31. You can turn there. Job's friends came to comfort him. By the way, if Job's friends ever come to comfort you, don't let them in. These guys were bad. So they come to comfort Job. You know Job's troubles. And Job is sitting there. And they don't say a thing for 7 days. And everything's good. Then they open their mouth. And they start accusing Job, saying the reason bad things are happening to you is because you're sinning. They just flat out accuse him. And so what Job does sometimes when he's talking, he's trying to tell him that, like, hey, if I didn't do this stuff, almost like if I did this, then I deserve it. He talks about the eyes in that in verse 31, and we're going to look at it. You know this verse, but there's another one that I didn't really look at. I didn't really connect the two dots until recently. Job 31 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes, an agreement, a decision, a commitment. Why then should I think upon a maid? Now, Job's going to talk about that because they were accusing him. Maybe he was immoral. He's like, I haven't been immoral. Covenant means a pledge, an alliance, an agreement. The covenant or agreement he made with his eyes had nothing to do with what he would be seeing. Now, that would be implied, right? We got to look at the right things. He didn't take the covenant towards what he would be looking at. He took the covenant past that to what would happen if he allowed himself to look at the wrong things. Sometimes things are in front of us, right? We see them and we shouldn't. We're like, oh, we have to look the other way. We have to be careful. His agreement with his eyes was that he would guard what he saw because he knew it would lead or dictate what he thought. His agreement with his eyes had nothing to do with what, with his eyes had to do with what he would think about, right? He said, I made a covenant with my eyes, therefore, why should I, did he say, look upon a maid? I mean, if you're making a covenant with your eyes, isn't that what you naturally think you would say? He said, wherefore would I think upon a maid? Because Job knew if he looked at a girl in the wrong way, or who was inappropriately dressed, provocatively so, that he would start thinking wrong thoughts. That's it. By the way, ladies, help us out. And men, just because I say that doesn't mean it gives you a right to look. Look, just look the other way. Because if you allow yourself to take that in and look at it and enjoy it, what happens is you're thinking about it now. And by the way, you're not thinking about Psalms chapter 1. You're thinking wrong thoughts. Because that's what eyesight does. So Job explains that a little bit further. Look at verse 7. And he's just, again, he's making this thing. If I've done this, I deserve it. He says, if my step hath turned out of the way, I'm not living a right way, and my heart walked after mine, what? Eyes. Walk means how we live our life. Job's making the thing like, I deserve it if I did this. He goes, if I'm out of the way, I'm doing the wrong things because my heart is walking after my eyes. That's what happens. You understand what I see the maid, I think about the maid or whatever it is, and now it affects my heart and my emotions, and now I start living that way. You have to be very careful. If you allow yourself to look at immoral, wrong things, it gets in your mind, that consumes your thinking, it gets to your heart and your emotions, and you walk that way. You start to live that way. Here's the progression. He says, here's the point. If we allow ourselves the luxury to gaze on something that we shouldn't, we will start to think about it, and it gets into our hearts, eventually directing how we live. Right? I see it without any restraint. I get used to just seeing it. And I know I shouldn't, but I just get used to start to seeing it. Then I start thinking about it, or I allow it to start taking over my mind, and I'm dwelling on it at all times. Then it settles down into my heart. Now I have an attachment to it. And then it becomes my actions and my life directions, in my life's direction. So what happens if I don't want it to happen? Well, then I will watch my actions and my direction in life, make sure it's the right direction. And I will do that by guarding my heart. And I will guard my heart by not thinking about the wrong things. And I will make sure I don't think about the wrong things by not allowing them in my sight in the first place. Or I listen to it too, by the way. You listen to all that immoral, ridiculous music, you can't help but think about it. And it's painting a visual picture in your mind. I don't know any Christian that's a dynamic, godly Christian that listens to the wrong kind of music. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know. I do. I know, and you're hiding it. I can tell. You're not, and you're going to have struggles in your life. Why do I struggle with spirituality? Because spirituality cannot compete with the flesh. Because you live in the flesh, and the flesh just, and you're feeding the flesh, and so now the flesh is strong. So we have to be careful what we allow. You go on social media and you get on there. Well, let me say, you don't want to get at step four where it's directing our actions, so you stop it at step one. See, what we do in our society is we see how far we can get to the edge without falling over. You're going to fall over. Because when it comes to this kind of stuff, the edge is very soft, and as soon as you put your foot on it, it's gonna collapse. So you got to be very, very careful. We may start out in areas doing things with sincere motives, but because if we're not following through on some of these things like God's glory, you stray into these areas, and the steps start to take over in your life. And once they get a foothold, you're in trouble. Or you've already taken those steps, and you get on social media and it's revealing to the world that you've already taken those steps. You can't get on social media and just do whatever the work of the flesh is. I'm not even talking about blast people, act like a godless Christian. You can't tell me you're walking in the Spirit. That didn't go over very well. We have to watch it, right? You know what it's revealing? I have an issue there. I need to work on it. I need to exhibit and develop the fruit of the Spirit in my life. By the way, let me just say this. We have to be careful of our young people getting into this stuff. The danger of our society is we can see so much garbage so easily, it's so readily accessible. And it'll just lodge in our mind, it'll direct our heart, lead us astray. You just got to be very, very careful. Don't let your children and teens get access to this. And I know, and I don't know who, I'm not paying attention, but some of us, we mindlessly give our teens a cell phone. You might as well put a rattlesnake in bed with them. Why would you put them in a position when they're young and immature to get onto something that is going to ruin their lives? I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I've seen them. It's horrific. At the age at which children have seen pornography, it's very low. By the way, once that infiltrates and defiles their mind, it's only by the grace of God that that'll ever get cleaned out. And yet you're going to hand them a hand grenade and say, don't pull the pin. And you say, Pastor, I'm sick of you saying that. I'm sick of dealing with it in my office. And if you have a problem with that, I'll say this as nicely as I can, tough luck. When I stopped having to deal with teenagers, filth and garbage that they're going through because someone gave them a device, then I'll stop saying it. You're ruining your kids. Say, but if I tried to take that device or phone away from them, they get mad. Bingo. They're proving my point. Okay? I'm not going to let my kid drive my car. I don't even want to let them drive it when they're 18. Have you seen insurance rates? You'll say, you know, you're 11, Junior. I think you can handle it. Here. Here's the keys. But you'll give them that device. Oh, Pastor, you know, I'm really good with tech. They all say that. You know, or here's one. My kid's been really good, so I'm going to reward him with the phone. Okay. Yeah. Hey, kid, you've been really good for a week, so yeah, go ahead and go out and party with your friends tonight. Come on, we have to think. We have to think. We have to guard their hearts. We got to guard their minds. We got to help them until they're mature enough to deal with this stuff. Adults are struggling with it. People, come on. All right. We're done with that until a couple weeks. Now, let me end on a positive, shall I? If it is true that we can look at the wrong things and it lodges in our mind and we start to dwell on them and it becomes part of our heart and emotions and it directs us into some actions for the negative, guess what? It is also true for the positive. Right? Romans chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, 1 and 2. You know the verses. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which your reasonable service. By the way, that is reasonable, right? Just to give ourselves to God and say, God, you know, we're yours. Verse 2, I think, helps us and goes in conjunction. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be like everything else in the world, but be transformed. Completely different. We're not supposed to, and we looked at this on Thursday, so I won't belabor it. We're not supposed to be conformed, pressed into the world's mold, just like they are. We're to be transformed, completely different. A change on the inside that shows itself on the outside. We're supposed to be like that. How do we do that? Be ye transformed by the Renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Well, things I look out get into my mind, so why don't I look at the right things? Things that I listen to get into my mind, so why don't I listen to the right things? Do you understand the difference? You know, you're listening to the right kind of music. Look, it's hard to go bebopping and be with your girlfriend, do something wrong if you're listening to Amazing Grace in your car. Hey, baby, let's go park and be alone. Amazing Grace. Doesn't work. Okay, neither does my voice. Right? You're listening to the scripture. You're listening to scripture on the in the car, you know, Scorby, that voice. You know, 10 score, 20 years, whatever. It's not going to happen. So listen and watch the right things. Get it in your mind and think about it. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to get into your heart and it's going to guide and direct your actions. And so you'll get on social media or you'll be somewhere where something comes up that's wrong and you'll see it. And immediately that scripture in your mind is going to say, hey, turn the other way. Oh, shouldn't follow that. I know you're irritated and you want to make a comment right now that's not Christian, but don't do that. Right? That's how it works. So which do you choose? Put the right stuff in. And by the way, we have to fight the flesh, don't we? It's there all the time. And sometimes we lose a battle. But you know what we do? We start fighting the fight. And the better, the more we give ourselves good ammo to use, the more successful we are going to be. So we can use that to our advantage. Let's bow our head and close our eyes tonight, please, if you may. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. Thank you for being. I know this morning service was a little bit longer than normal. This is important. Because I'll just be honest with you, unless someone drug you in here, and maybe they did, I don't think you're here tonight because you don't have a desire for God. I don't think so. I think we're here and we have some type of right desire. And we want to do the right thing. And sometimes we wonder, why am I struggling so much? I know people, and I've dealt with people in the past, and they've struggled with some things they've been seeing and so forth, and they want to do the right thing. And how did I have, they knew it was wrong, and the struggle was there. Because they were allowing these things into their life. It's just that technology and social media makes it easier. How are you doing tonight? Let's fight this battle. If you look at the two, we didn't look at the fruit of the Spirit. We could have. And we will on Thursday night, by the way. But I don't know, if I look at the two lists, you know which one I want to be involved with? The fruit of the Spirit. I don't want the works of the flesh because I get the results of the flesh. I want the fruit of the Spirit because I want the results of the Spirit. Are we allowing ourselves to delve in, even to a small degree, to things that maybe aren't right? When I said our morals, you were thinking strictly of lust and that type of thing. But it affects a lot more than that. It affects our attitude, our spirit, all these different things. The point is, we need to be careful tonight. We need to be careful. And I'll say this very kindly, and then we'll stand and we'll open the altar. And it's particularly males. If you're on the worst case side of that and you are really struggling and you're losing the battles and you don't know how to win them, you might want to consider your access to the internet, your access to social media. You might want to cut it off. I've done it before. I've had grown men in my office saying, I'm struggling with this. And I'm like, get rid of your phone. Go get a flip phone. Say, that's radical. Do you want to keep feeding that? Or do you want to kill it? Let's stand this evening. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe God spoke to you about something. Maybe you just need to be careful. Say, I just want to be careful. Lord, I don't ever want to get involved with this. Lord, help me to stay at step one. By the way, that's the fight, right? Fight it up front. That's social media. What I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, I'm going to fight that battle. That's the one I'm going to watch because I don't want to get to step two, three, and four. So that's the one I'm going to watch. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know who you are, and this is between you, God, and the paint on the wall. But if maybe you've given some access to your children, you need to go home and say, Mom was wrong, Dad was wrong, give it up. piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, come.